66. Strategist. 11 years ago. Dalinar's breath misted as he leaned on the stone windowsill. In the room behind him, soldiers set up a table with a map on it.
"See there," Dalinar said, pointing out the window. "That ledge down there?"
Adolin, now 12 years old, nearly 13, leaned out the window. The outside of the large stone keep bulged here at the second floor, which would make scaling it challenging. But the stonework provided a convenient handhold in the form of a ledge right below the window.
"I see it," Adolin said.
"Good. Now watch."
Dalinar gestured into the room. One of his guards pulled a lever and the stonework ledge retracted into the wall.
"It moved," Adolin said.
"Do that again."
The soldier obliged, using the lever to make the ledge stick out, then retract again.
"Neat," Adolin said.
So full of energy, as always. If only Dalinar could harness that for the battlefield, he wouldn't need shards to conquer.
"Why did they build that, do you think?" Dalinar asked.
"In case people climb it, you could make them drop back down."
"Defense against shard bearers," Dalinar said, nodding. "A fall this far would crack their plate. But the fortress also has interior corridor sections that are too narrow to maneuver in properly with plate and blade."
Dalinar smiled. Who knew that such a gem had been hiding in the highlands between Alethkar and Yakaved? This solitary keep would provide a nice barrier if true war ever did break out with the Vadens. He gestured for Adolin to move back, then shuttered the window and rubbed his chilled hands. This chamber was decorated like a lodge, hung with old, forgotten greatshell trophies. At the side, a soldier stoked a flame in the hearth. The battles with the Vadens had wound down. Though the last few fights had been disappointing, having his son with him had been an absolute delight. Adolin hadn't gone into battle, of course, but he'd joined them at tactics meetings. Dalinar had at first assumed the generals would be annoyed at the presence of a child, but it was hard to find little Adolin annoying. He was so earnest, so interested. Together, he and Adolin joined a few of Dalinar's lesser officers at the room's table map.
"Now," Dalinar said to Adolin, "let's see how well you've been paying attention. Where are we now?"
Adolin leaned over, pointing at the map.
"This is our new keep, which you won for the crown. Here's the old border where it used to be. Here's the new border in blue, which we won back from those thieving Vadens. They've held our land for 20 years.
"Excellent," Dalinar said. "But it's not merely land we've won."
"Trade treaties," Adolin said. "That's the point of the big ceremony we had to do. You and that Vaden high prince in formal dress. We won the right to trade for tons of stuff for cheap."
"Yes, but that's not the most important thing we won."
Adolin frowned.
Horses?"
"No, son. The most important thing we've won is legitimacy. In signing this new treaty, the Vaden king has recognized Gavilar as the rightful king of Alethkar. We've not just defended our borders, we've forestalled a greater war, as the Vadens now acknowledge our right to rule, and won't be pressing their own."
Adolin nodded, understanding. It was gratifying to see how much one could accomplish in both politics and trade by liberally murdering the other fellow's soldiers. These last years, full of skirmishes, had reminded Dalinar of why he lived. More, they'd given him something new. In his youth, he'd warred, then spent the evenings drinking with his soldiers. Now he had to explain his choices, vocalize them, for the ears of an eager young boy who had questions for everything, and expected Dalinar to know the answers. Storms, it was a challenge, but it felt good, incredibly good. He had no intention of ever returning to a useless life spent wasting away in Kolinar, going to parties and getting into tavern brawls. Dalinar smiled and accepted a cup of warmed wine, surveying the map. Though Adolin had been focused on the region where they were fighting the Vadens, Dalinar's eyes were instead drawn to another section. It included, written in pencil, the numbers he'd requested. Projections of troops at the rift.
Vim Kachi Echo,
Evie said, stepping into the room, holding her arms tight to her chest and shivering.
I had thought Central Alethkar was cold. Adolin Colin, where is your jacket?
The boy looked down, as if suddenly surprised that he wasn't wearing it. He looked at Teleb, who merely smiled, shaking his head.
Run along, son, Dalinar said. You have geography lessons today.
Can I stay? I don't want to leave you.
He wasn't speaking merely of today. The time was approaching when Adolin would go to spend part of the year in Kolinar to drill with the Swordmasters and receive formal training in diplomacy. He spent most of the year with Dalinar, but it was important to get him some refinement in the capital.
Go, Dalinar said. If you pay attention in your lesson, I'll take you riding tomorrow.
Adolin sighed, then saluted. He hopped off his stool and gave his mother a hug, which was un-Alethi, but Dalinar suffered the behavior. Then he was out the door. Evie stepped up to the fire.
So cold. What possessed someone to build a fortress way up here?
It's not that bad, Dalinar said. You should visit the Frostlands in a season of winter.
You Alethi cannot understand cold. Your bones are frozen.
Dalinar grunted his response, then leaned down over the map.
I need to approach from the south, march up along the lake's coast.
The king is sending a message via Spanreet, Evie noted. It's being scribed now.
Her accent is fading, Dalinar noticed absently.
When she sat down in a chair by the fire, she supported herself with her right hand, safe hand, tucked demurely against her waist. She kept her blonde hair in Alethi braids rather than letting it tumble about her shoulders. She'd never be a great scribe. She didn't have the youthful training and art and letters of a Vorin woman. Besides, she didn't like books and preferred her meditations. But she'd tried hard these last years, and he was impressed. She still complained that he didn't see Renarin enough. The other son was unfit for battle and spent most of his time in Kolinar. Evie spent half the year back with him.
No, no, Dalinar thought, writing a glyph on the map. The coast is the expected route.
What then? An amphibious assault across the lake? He'd need to see if he could get ships for that. A scribe eventually entered, bearing the king's letter, and everyone but Dalinar and Evie left. Evie held the letter and hesitated.
Do you want to sit, or...
No. Go ahead.
Evie cleared her voice.
Brother, the letter began, the treaty is sealed. Your efforts in Yakaved are to be commended, and this should be a time of celebration and congratulations. Indeed, on a personal note, I wish to express my pride in you. The word from our best generals is that your tactical instincts have matured to full-fledged strategic genius. I never counted myself among their ranks, but to a man they commend you as their equal. As I have grown to become a king, it seems you have found your place as our general. I'm most interested to hear your own reports of the small mobile team tactics you've been employing. I would like to speak in person at length about all of this. Indeed, I have important revelations of my own I would like to share. It would be best if we could meet in person. Once I enjoyed your company every day. Now I believe it has been 3 years since we last spoke face to face.
But, Dalinar said, interrupting, the rift needs to be dealt with.
Evie broke off, looking at him, then back down at the page. She continued reading.
Unfortunately, our meeting will have to wait a few storms longer. Though your efforts on the border have certainly helped solidify our power, I have failed to dominate Rathalas and its renegade leader with politics. I must send you to the rift again. You are to quell this faction. Civil war could tear Alethkar to shreds, and I dare not wait any longer. In truth, I wish I'd listened when we spoke so many years ago, and you challenged me to send you to the Rift. Sadeus will gather reinforcements and join you. Please send word of your strategic assessment of the problem. Be warned. We are certain now that one of the other High Princes, we don't know who, is supporting Tanalan and his rebellion. He may have access to shards. I wish you strength of purpose and the Herald's own blessings in your new task. With love and respect, Gavilar.
Ebi looked up.
How did you know, Dalinar? You've been poring over those maps for weeks, maps of the Crown Lands and of Alethkar. You knew he was going to assign you this task.
What kind of strategist would I be if I couldn't foresee the next battle?
I thought we were going to relax, Ebi said. We were going to be done with the killing.
With the momentum I have, what a waste that would be. If not for this problem in Rathalas, Gavilar would have found somewhere else for me to fight. Herdaz again, perhaps. You can't have your best general sitting around collecting creme.
Besides, there would be men and women among Gavilar's advisors who worried about Dalinar. If anyone was a threat to the throne, it would be the Blackthorn, particularly with the respect he'd gained from the kingdom's generals. Though Dalinar had decided years ago that he would never do such a thing, many at court would think the kingdom safer if he were kept away.
No, Evie, he said as he made another notation. I doubt we will ever settle back in Kolinar again.
He nodded to himself. That was the way to get to the Rift. One of his mobile bands could round and secure the lake's beach. He could move the entire army across it then, attacking far faster than the Rift expected. Satisfied, he looked up and found Ebi crying. The sight stunned him, and he dropped his pencil. She tried to hold it back, turning toward the fire and wrapping her arms around herself, but the sniffles sounded as distinct and disturbing as breaking bones. Kalek's breath. He could face soldiers and storms, falling boulders and dying friends, but nothing in his training had ever prepared him to deal with these soft tears.
7 years, she whispered. 7 years we've been out here, living in wagons and waystops. 7 years of murder, of chaos, of men crying to their wounds.
You married?
Yes, I married a soldier. It's my fault for not being strong enough to deal with the consequences. Thank you, Dalinar, you've made that very clear.
This was what it was like to feel helpless.
I thought you were growing to like it. You now fit in with the other women?
The other women? Dalinar, they make me feel stupid.
But
conversation is a contest to them, Ebi said, throwing her hands up. Everything has to be a contest with you, Alethi, always trying to show up everyone else. For the women, it's this awful unspoken game to prove how witty they each are. I've thought maybe the only answer to make you proud is to go to the Night Watcher and ask for the blessing of intelligence. The old magic can change a person, make something great of them.
Ebi, Dalinar cut in, please, don't speak of that place or that creature. It's blasphemous.
You say that, Dalinar, she said, but no one actually cares about religion here. Oh, they make sure to point out how superior their beliefs are to mine. But who actually ever worries about the heralds, other than to swear by their names? You bring Ardens to battle merely to soul cast rocks into grain. That way you don't have to stop killing each other long enough to find something to eat.
Dalinar approached, then settled down into the other seat by the hearth.
It is different in your homeland?
She rubbed her eyes, and he wondered if she'd see through his attempt to change the subject. Talking about her people often smoothed over their arguments.
Yes, she said. True, there are those who don't care about the One or the Heralds. They say we shouldn't accept Irialli or Boren doctrines as our own. But Dalinar, many do care. Here, you just pay some Arden to burn glyph wards for you and call it done.
Dalinar took a deep breath and tried again.
Perhaps, after I've seen to the rebels, I can persuade Gavilar not to give me another assignment. We could travel, go west, to your homeland.
So you could kill my people instead?
No, I wouldn't.
They'd attack you, Dalinar. My brother and I are exiles, if you haven't forgotten.
He hadn't seen Toh in a decade, ever since the man had gone to Herdaz. He reportedly liked it quite well, living on the coast, protected by Alethi bodyguards. Evie sighed.
I'll never see the sunken forests again. I've accepted that. I will live my life in this harsh land, so dominated by wind and cold.
Well, we could travel someplace warm, up to the steam water, just you and I, time together. We could even bring Adolin.
And Renarin?
Evie asked.
Dalinar, you have 2 sons, in case you have forgotten. Do you even care about the child's condition? Or is he nothing to you now that he can't become a soldier?
Dalinar grunted, feeling like he'd taken a mace to the head. He stood up, then walked toward the table.
What?
Evie demanded.
I've been in enough battles to know when I've found one I can't win.
So you flee?
Evie said.
Like a coward?
The coward, Dalinar said, gathering his maps, is the man who delays a necessary retreat for fear of being mocked. We'll go back to Kolinar after I deal with the rebellion at the Rift. I'll promise you at least 1 year there.
Really?
Evie said, standing up.
Yes. You've won this fight.
I don't feel like I've won.
Welcome to war, Evie, Dalinar said, heading toward the door. There are no unequivocal wins, just victories that leave fewer of your friends dead than others.
He left and slammed the door behind him. Sounds of her weeping chased him down the steps, and shame spren fell around him like flower petals.
Storms, I don't deserve that woman, do I?
Well, so be it. The argument was her fault, as were the repercussions. He stomped down the steps to find his generals and continue planning his return assault on the Rift.